اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صلوات. سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraja. There are times of the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated for the general public, for everyone to engage in worship, and everyone is invited. The greatest example of that on an annual basis is the month of Ramadan, Shahrullah, which is Dhiyafatullah, a party in a sense, a divine party, Dhiyafah, that everyone is invited to. It's open to all. Everyone is welcome, everyone is encouraged, everyone is included in that invite, and there's room for everyone to take whatever they can in that blessed and holy month. There are times of the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated for those who choose to be and want to be more intimate with Him. They want to spend more time with Him. They want to get closer to Him. They want to gain proximity to Him. One of those times is the 40 days, or rather 40 nights, that the Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was invited to Tur Sayna, the Mount Sayna. And over the course of those 40 nights, Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was able to make progress and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of what he was able to, as the imam of the Muslim ummah. Islam, in the sense of submission to Allah, is, as the Quran says, has been the religion of Allah on earth. It was never anything but that. Other titles, other names can be associated with a certain prophet, a certain time, a certain location or locality, But as far as that religion being a divine religion from Allah, every religion from the beginning to the end is Islam, submission. You submit to what God has said. God has sent messengers, whatever that messenger that is, the messenger you need to follow has said, you need to submit to that. And you need to submit to the fact that he has sent multiple messengers throughout time, and that these messengers have come with variations of nusuk rituals. The rituals they came with were different. Ibrahim ala Nabi alayhi salam came with certain rituals, some of which ended up in Mecca and remained there, and were not part of the rituals that the offspring of his from his other son Ishaq, whose son was Ya'qub, and from Ya'qub Banu Israel started, the children of Israel or the children of Ya'qub. That's where Banu Israel, the children of Israel, starts with the after the birth of Israel or Ya'qub, that great prophet of Allah. He had 12 children, and from those 12 children, their progeny became Banu Israel. That faction of the family, the progeny, the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salam, had certain rituals. And the rituals that were given to Musa to deliver to Banu Israel were certain rituals. When Isa came, Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam, he also had certain rituals that he was told to tell the Jews and everyone who believes in him, that the rituals have changed to the ones that he has brought. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, of the faction of the progeny of Ibrahim that started with Ismail, he had a different set of rituals. These are the nusuk, they're variations. The whole thing is Islam. Islam is submit to that fact and to implement it the way he says. He said for those people at that time, those rituals, for you it's these rituals. They pray that way, you pray this way. They prayed rather, because whoever follows Musa should be following Isa, and whoever follows Isa should be following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. So everyone is supposed to be following the current rituals, which are the ones given to the Prophet. But knowing and believing and accepting that the rituals were different prior to that time, that is part of Islam, submitting to that. Anyhow, in this month, the Prophet Musa went to the mountain Tur Sina, the mountain Sina, as the Arabic goes, and he was able to ascend. He was able to make progress. He was elevated in that miqat, in that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that means. Why did he have to go to that location? God decided. Why that time? God decided. That's all part of the submission. He made progress. We were saying this, that as a result of the progress, or one of the effects of the progress of this imam of the Muslim ummah, and we explained that idea of Islam for this reason. This imam, he was a leader of the Muslim ummah. When he made progress, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the Torah, فِيهَا هُدًى ونور. The commandments were given, as they are known out here, at the end of that journey or that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 40-night meeting. So these nights of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah are, they form the 30 nights, the beginning nights of the beginning nights of the Miqat, and the first 10 nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah make the last 10 nights of the 40-night meeting of Musa. This is a time of the year that's dedicated, it's not for everybody, not that it's specific to a certain class of people, not everybody's invited. The thing is, not everybody can take being so involved in ritual so many times and for such long durations. The month of Ramadan is something that we barely can make through with the fasting of every day of those that month. To have another 40-day period, and I'm not suggesting that everybody needs to, or whoever wants to get closer to Allah needs to dedicate 40 nights. Know that this is a special time of the year, and that will help one, it will inshallah help us all be able to stay a little more focused on that. These reminders help us remember that what's most important in life is that ascension, that progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is less important. One of the things that is important in that regard, in trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we find in our riwayat, our ahadith, and it's very tough, but we need to work on it. We need to know that it's out there. We need to, it's something to work on. And we need to know, of course, it's difficult and it's going to take time, but we do need to work on it. What is that? Ar-ridha bi qada'i Allah. Being pleased with the qada' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being pleased with what God has destined and what happens. There's an element of taklif in our lives, the element of responsibility to Allah. And at every time, in every location, everywhere, anywhere, anytime we are, we have to look and see, do we have a taklif, what that taklif may be, and what determines our taklif in a condition that we're in are those conditions and what happens. So if something happens to us, our taklif may be to get angry at someone. Our taklif may be to get up and do something. Our taklif may be to engage in battle with the kuffar. Our taklif may be to be engaged in social media battle, for instance. Our taklif may be a number of things, or any one of a number of things, plenty of them. What determines what is my taklif right now as opposed to yesterday or tomorrow, and where I am now and where I may be tomorrow or where I was yesterday? What determines is what happens. So the element of responsibility and what needs to happen, what I need to do in any of these conditions, practically, in terms of my behavior towards people, towards the environment, whatever my taklif is, I see something happen, I observe it, I look at what God has said my takalif, my responsibilities are, and I search and see in this condition, is there a responsibility towards any element here or not? If there is, then that's my takalif. If there isn't, I don't have any particular takalif in that condition, and I don't have any condition or any takalif in that condition. So responsibility is one element. This shouldn't get confused, or one should not get confused in regards to it, when the discussion of al-ridha biqada'illah comes forth and that is addressed, and we look at our takleef. And this is not a wajib haram takleef. This is a spiritual takleef for those who want to ascend, for those who want to get closer and closer to Allah, for those who want to be of the muqarrabin. This is a takleef, and it's always there, regardless of the condition. Whatever happens, things that may happen to us based on how God has created us can be pleasant, can be non-pleasant. They may be extremely pleasant, very pleasurable, very desirable, beyond our imagination. And they may be very horrific. They may be very, very difficult, very disturbing, very painful, psychologically, physically, and otherwise. Excruciating mental, psychological, spiritual, and physical pain altogether, let's say, for whatever amount of time, whatever duration of time. Things that happen, things that occur in this world to us are not good. This is what is meant by, are not always good in the sense of being pleasurable. This is what is meant by, inna ma'al usri yusra, or nabluukum bisharri wal khayri fitna. Shar and khayr. In this realm, in this material realm, what is pleasant and favorable to us is khayr, and what is unpleasant and unfavorable and undesirable to us is shar. That's one of the usages of those two words. I'm trying to remember the verse in Surah Al-Adiyat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. The human being, لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ, the love of khayr, لَشَدِيدٌ, very extreme. When I first started looking at that verse, it seemed a little, there was something off in my mind, there was something meaning, I could realize there's something wrong with my understanding, because the way I understood that sentence, it seems to be in a negative connotation. It's not a positive thing about a human being. It's negative. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودُ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. The relationship of a human being with Allah is not a good one. It's a certain description. I don't remember the exact translation or equivalent of كَنُود. But then it says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. On the other hand, in the same context, which is negative, the love of khayr is very strong in the human being. Well, khayr, I thought, was a good thing. So how could liking good be in a negative context? And it is explained that khayr, what is meant there, is material khayr. The want of material gains, benefits, money, and what have you. Good things for yourself. You want good for yourself. Yeah, that's generally. حب الخير. خير, sometimes, not sometimes, in a sense always, means something that's favorable to a person. But sometimes we mistake what is favorable, what is desirable, for something that is actually not desirable in the long run. It's hurtful, it's harmful to us, and so on and so forth. That verse is talking about how a person is selfish and they want khair for themselves, and they're so that love for good for themselves, what's favorable, what's desirable, what's enjoyable for themselves, to be very strong. So back to the verse we were discussing, نَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ, not good and evil in that sense, but rather what is favorable and what is unfavorable, what is desirable and what is undesirable in this material realm. Both will be brought to you. And the first verse that we read, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, you have hardship, there's difficult, there's undesirable, unfavorable things, and then there's favorable things, the things that are we desire, we like. In this realm, there's both. And the hereafter, for the believers, there's only khair, there's only favorable, desirable, enjoyable things waiting for them. And for the kuffar and the enemies of God, there's only shar awaiting them. Things that happen can be categorized in one of those two, in terms of us liking or disliking. It's either shar or khair. It's either usr or it's yusr. In terms of taklif, it's a whole different thing. We need to develop in ourselves ar-ridha bi qada'illah, whether it's the shar or the khair that comes our way, the desirable and the undesirable, whichever it is that comes our way, we need to see it to be from Allah and we need to be pleased with it. Ar-ridha bi qada'illah. Being pleased with it. This is very tough to do, especially in the context of taklif. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this so that we can conceptually differentiate between the two. So practically, while we have ar-ridha bi qada'illah, we can still have anger towards one of God's creation, which is our taklif. Amir al-Mu'minin salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, Qasim al-Jannati wa al-Nar, the scale of Iman that everyone was going to be measured compared to him, and the more similar you are, the higher level of Iman you have, and the more different you are, the lower you are. Amir al-Mu'minin got angry. But angry at what? Angry at whom? Angry at Allah? For why this is happening? No. Ridha bi qada'illah. While he had ar-ridha bi qada'illah, he's completely pleased with what's happening. He has a taklif in the context of people not listening to his command, not because it's his command, but because God has said to command them when they disobey, that is the context of you being angry with them and speaking to them with that anger and saying, Ya ashbah al-rijal wa la rijal, those who resemble men but aren't men. Amir al-Mu'mineen did not look happy at all, and he wasn't. He wasn't happy with the people that he was addressing. He wished, لَوَدِدْتُ, he wished and said, I would have loved never to have seen you or known you. That shows that he's very unhappy and he's not making words up, empty words that he doesn't have. He feels that way internally. But towards whom? Towards Allah? No, towards them. That's his taklif. He's supposed to feel angry. He's supposed to feel upset. And he's supposed to speak with anger. There are times when you get angry, the taklif is actually, it's okay to feel anger, in a sense. Somebody disrespected you, okay, the feeling came, all right, well, that's the feeling came. How are you going to respond? Should I speak with anger? If it was someone that didn't realize what they're doing, or they did realize, but in the sense of, yeah, they slapped me or they disrespected me and they knew they were disrespecting me, but they're an ignorant person. They didn't realize what a bad thing they're doing. Or whatever other context that God has said, be patient with them. Well, in that context, the feeling comes, act patiently with them. Overlook their misdeed. Don't speak to them in that way. But there are certain times that God says, no, show your anger. Be angry, remain angry, show it in your speech, in your behavior, in a certain way, meaning you're not allowed to just do whatever in that context because you're angry. No, even in that case, Amir al-Mu'minin could have, he single-handedly took out the gate of Khaybar. Single-handedly, the people that he was addressing and saying, you're disobeying me, if they would have seen a few of them lifted the way that gate of Khaybar was all together, wrapped in a bundle, and he lift them and throw them, and they land God knows where, well, that'll be enough. Everybody's going to be all ears and listening to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't want to listen, doesn't want them to listen to him because they're afraid of him. He's not like Muawiyah. So God says, no, I don't, that's not how you're going to show your anger. Show it by expressing that you're angry at what you're doing, what they're doing. In speech, speak to them in that way. Talk to them and try to convince them what they're doing is very wrong with that speech, with that display of anger. If they listen, they listen. They don't listen, your taklif is done. While he's angry at them, not at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every point, whatever happens, and the focus right now, because this is where to be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about, the more difficult part is what's undesirable. What's desirable, it's easy to say, Alhamdulillah, you know, it's I'm pleased with what God has given me. But when it's difficult, so now that the perhaps the confusion, like to think that a person who is pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings their way does not look angry at a time where something happens, or at any time, to think that, oh, you're never going to be angry. Why? Because I'm pleased with whatever happens. That's a misunderstanding of this. You're never angry with God. You're never angry with God. With His creation, sometimes God says, I want you to be. The verses of the Quran is that God's wrath includes certain people. For those people, part of God's wrath is a believer's wrath towards them, the way God says it, and whatever way He says it needs to be expressed. So to say that, no, I'm not going to be angry at all because رِضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ, that is incorrect. It may be a taklif to feel angry and to show anger towards a person, a creation, a people. It may be not a taklif, but okay to feel angry at a creation for it not functioning or whatever. That's something that needs to be looked into, whatever God says. If God says, no, I don't want you to be angry at an object that doesn't function, okay, I can't be angry at that. I'm supposed to change that, my behavior at least. If He says, it's okay if you feel angry, but cap it and don't express it, okay, I'm not going to express it there. If He says it's okay to be angry and it's okay to express it, You get angry, throw that thing against the wall. It's okay. If he says it's okay, then all right, it's okay. It's not takrif, but if you feel like doing it, you said it's okay. Okay, I'll do it. So I'm angry, but angry at what? At whom? At Allah or this object? So the first thing that needs to be clarified is this. Now, after clarifying this, one last point that we'll discuss and inshallah we'll conclude for tonight is that, so it seemed like in the end, a person who has rida bi qada'illah and the person who doesn't may look the same. This person's angry, that person's angry as well. They're angry that this object didn't work, that software didn't work, that computer, that device, that technology, that whatever it is didn't work. They're angry at it because they looked it up and God said it's okay to be angry. So they're angry at whatever that condition is. And this other person that is not, does not have rida bi qada'illah, is also angry. They may show their anger slightly differently, where any word that this person that doesn't look for and isn't trying to have rida bi qada'illah, does not look for taklif, does not look for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to do or not to do, they may come out and say whatever they know of, whatever language is vocabulary in terms of profanity. And the person that looks into what God has allowed, they only use the language that God allows them to use. But they're both expressing anger. So what's the difference? So the thing is that when these different conditions, some of which are favorable or unfavorable, some are unfavorable to us, when that happens, when we come across a situation like that, there's two things, initially, two groups of people. One group of people that doesn't even think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and God being in charge of it and Him being the one that made this happen in the exact way it happened. That's the majority. The majority even of the believers. Now if a person is asked, well, doesn't God say everything? They say, yeah. Everyone will hopefully respond by saying, yeah, God says, I bring the rain, I do this, I do that, everything. Allah, even what we do, the Quran says, say, inshallah, so if God wills, it happens. If God doesn't will, everybody will say it like that. But do they really understand that? And even if they do understand it, anything that happens, do they see and feel and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that very thing or not? Most people don't think of that. Then those who think of it and remember that He's the one in charge are of two groups and two categories. Ar-ridha biqada'illah is for a believer that has reached a level that already they believe and they see God's hand in everything. Whatever happens, good or bad, anything whatsoever that happens, they have already come to a level of understanding and belief that they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in charge, and whatever happens is His. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. La ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام, and so on and so forth, all the verses and ahadith and phrases of dhikr that we have to remind us of that. They've already come to that, and when they've come to that realization and that understanding, now is the time to work on this idea. I need to be pleased with it. I need to know it's from Allah. I need to be pleased with it. It's unfavorable, undesirable, it's hurtful, it's excruciating. But I need to be pleased with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to me. I'm okay with, pleased with what part of it? Pleased with God's decree, His destiny, Him willing it. The thing is unfavorable. What's happening is unfavorable. Unfavorable by definition means it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant means I don't feel good about it. If it's unpleasant, but I feel pleasant in it, then it's no longer unpleasant. It's no longer unfavorable. So what's happening is unfavorable. But, and so that's not the part that changes. What happens is seeing this unfavorable thing from Allah, and while I'm suffering of the difficulty of that, the pain of it, I realize it's from Allah and I'm pleased with Him giving me this unfavorable condition. This is something to work on, brothers and sisters. We've been told of this in the Quran through the stories of the prophets, including Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam. Before and after the experience of Tur Sina, we have stories in the Quran that help us understand through that example and the way he made his progress in that regard. But it's mentioned to us and we're given that example. The example of Yunus and other prophets. There's plenty of examples in the Holy Quran in regards to Ar-Ridha bi Qada'illah. Ibrahim. And then in hadith, besides, again, examples of people that have gone through it, the notion, the idea, the teaching regarding it, as we've, I think, quoted a number of times, there's a hadith amongst many, there's many hadith. It's repeated, this idea of having ridha bi qada'illah is repeated, but one of them is a hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin that we have mentioned frequently. Al-Iman lahu arkanun arba'a. There are four pillars of Iman. At-tawakkul ala Allah. Wa tafwidu al-amri ila Allah. Wa al-ridha bi qada'illah. Wa taslimu li-amri Allah. Those other three of the four pillars. I just mentioned the Arabic, but the third one was Ar-Ridha bi Qada'illah. We're told this. Hearing this, we should know it's important. As believers, if we're looking to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to look at everything, what we need to do through our limbs, our arms, our legs, our tongue, our ears, our eyes, our bodies, what we physically need to do. And we also need to look at what we need to do mentally and spiritually, what the heart needs to do. Ar-ridha bi qada'illah, after realizing what it is, it becomes very evident that it is one of the forms of ibadah, slavehood, that is not going to manifest in the limbs or in the body much. Maybe certain subtle differences between a person who has that, who has developed that, and a person who hasn't. But it's subtle differences. The people who are observing Ali ibn Abi Talib, who are observing the Prophet, perhaps this was not something that they would be able to tell. They could see the adab, the akhlaq, at home, with the family, amongst believers, against disbelievers, on all different levels, that behavior they can see. But to pinpoint Ar-Ridha bi Qada'illah, besides some of the words that were said about people developing that, it wouldn't be something that would be too visible. It's something that's more internal, and that's something the heart needs to do. Of course, again, it does have There is going to be a difference in the behavior of the person, but it won't be too noticeable, except for those who have completed that, or at least so it seems. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us develop that. Last point that we will mention, not regarding that topic, we already mentioned the last one regarding that, is that the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, at the beginning of it, is the day that it's been decided to be the day of the remembrance of the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha. According to the research of the ulama, who are experts at this, there is no mention historically of the date of birth of the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha. However, we know she was born on a day, and during Dhul Qa'dah, Imam al-Ridha's birthday is what we have, and it was decided to have this day, the beginning, the first day of the month of Dhul Qa'dah, as a day of celebration and remembrance of the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha. So while we don't claim that we know the date of her birth, but to have a day that we remember her specifically, as she is not just someone that is related to the Ahlul Bayt, she is very special, what Imam al-Jawad salamullahi alayhi, the nephew of the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha, has said about her ziyara, that whoever visits Ammati biqum wajabat lahu al-Jannah, Jannah is promised, according to the hadith of Imam al-Jawad salamullahi alayhi. And another account goes that whoever cannot visit the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha for whatever reason, then visit the Lady Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha. So because of her importance, it is good to have a day that we remember her out of the year, one for her birth and one for her passing, which was a form of shahada, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I want to say regarding that is this, that one of the things we need in order to make that progress and to come to a level of ar-ridha bi qada'illah or any spiritual development is tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. The Ahlul Bayt, according to what some of the ulama have understood correctly from the riwayat, if hadith says regarding Salman, Salmanu minna Ahlul Bayt, he's one of us, the Ahlul Bayt, most definitely Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha is part of the Ahlul Bayt as well, but Ahlul Bayt is not limited to the 14 Ma'sumin. So when it says, for instance, Salman, who according to the correct understanding, Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha was above him, if he is of the Ahlul Bayt, then she is definitely of the Ahlul Bayt. That definition of the Ahlul Bayt does not mean that there's more Ma'sumin, more than 14 Ma'sumin. No, that's not. The Ma'sumin are the Prophet Fatima al-Zahra Amir al-Mu'mineen and their progeny Hassanain and the Imams from the progeny of Hussein and Hassan salamullahi alayhima. We need tawassul. We are in dire need of tawassul. We need to constantly beg the Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim ajma'in, as God has made them the vehicle for us to be able to use in order to ascend towards Him and become of the Muqarrabin. This is what God has put there for us. To reach Tawheed, we need to go through that route, through the route of the Ahlul Bayt. And God has given us that in the month of Dhul Qa'dah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Fatima al-Ma'suma salamullahi alayha that He helps us start taking Him more seriously and realizing everything else is only a manifestation of Him. And so the most important thing is ascending towards Him. reaching his proximity, getting closer to him, and in doing so, sacrificing everything and anything that needs to be sacrificed in order to get to that. Nothing is comparable to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is. We hope that he helps us understand that, so we don't sacrifice meeting Allah and reaching his proximity for anything less than that. And everything other than that is less than it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all of us from this pandemic. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.